When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Congress and the White House appear to be for real contemplating banning TikTok in the U.S. if its parent company ByteDance does not sell the social media platform to a company based outside of China. Trump supporters attempt to swoon black voters with AI-generated images of President Donald Trump surrounded by black people. Will Black Twitter watch the Black Twitter documentary? That we don't know. We do know that black folks are going to keep calling Black Twitter, regardless of if Twitter is now called X. And most teens aren't worried about their social media use. Did we actually think they would be? We got all this and more for you in episode 121 of The Tech John. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
And coming out of Philly is your girl, Tech Life Seth.
And out of Atlanta, this is Terrence Gaines, a.k.a. Brother Tech, a.k.a. I hate it when content creators post short, out-of-context clips on social media. Because they got some spice to them, but then they spend most of the time in the comments saying, you didn't watch the whole video. The whole video, this is taken out of context. You don't understand what really happened. You got to watch the whole video. You got to watch the clip from the whole video. It's like, all right, so either post some context because you can do it in a 60-second, 90-second clip, get some context, or don't post it at all. And give people the ability to watch the whole video. It's like you're trying to be spicy on purpose, but then you're going in and complaining that ain't nobody watching the whole video. Ain't nobody going to, that's stupid. Nobody, and I realize this and I'm okay with it. Nobody's going to stop the video and be like, ooh, that was good. Let me go leave this social media platform. Try to get your link in the link in the bio, go up into the profile, click on the link, and then find your video to find no clue. Ain't nobody doing that. I understand that. So no. It's like knowing that, either post some context or just let it ride. It's like you posted the clip to be spicy on purpose. Now people take it in the post any way they want to because you didn't post no context. Now you spending half of the time in the comments trying to correct people. You can't correct people off of stuff you try to mislead people on purpose. So I just had to get that off my chest. That's all.
First impressions are first. I mean, you really can't change it.
But people, they got the engagement, right? But I think mission accomplished.
Yeah, but it's like, it'd be one thing if they were like, hey, you know, watch the whole clip, you know. But they're like, you don't understand, because somebody will say something in a comment and reply sideways or however they wanted to take the post. And then the original poster is like, no, you don't understand. Da, 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 da. It's not like they're trying to do engagement, because engagement would be like, oh, thanks for the comment. Or I don't know. You got to watch the whole clip to find out. They're like trying to correct people in the comments. I'm like, right. That's stupid.
It really is, because there's enough people that would take you out of context even when they have the full context. So why do it to yourself? It caused more confusion.
But like I said, I get
why
it.
Why care? Yeah, I get it. The overarching question.
Yeah, you trying to run up engagement. I get it. It's a perfect way to do it. Post something spicy out of context to make people run their mouths. But then don't spend the time trying to correct the people. It's like you posted something out of context. I respond out of context. Now you trying to get me in context. No, that don't work. The internet don't work like that. You should know that by now.
Clearly, you feel some kind of way.
I mean, yeah. I was going to say, tell us how you really feel.
Because it was one thing if the person just commented on something that was just like somebody was being, you know, blasphemous or, you know, just something like really like just dangerous posted. Yeah, completely out of pocket. People were just commenting like they do on social media. You see the original poster after post. after post. And I watched, read it like five down. I'm like, all right, you just being silly now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, guys, we had a it was a full week of tech. We actually were cutting stories now, in our green room before we came live. But before we get to our tech stories, I do want to let everybody know that if you'd like to support the Tech Giant, you can do so in a couple of ways. Ways we want to talk about at the top of the show is Patreon. We are, in addition to being a podcast, we do a live stream and actually have an after party where we hang out with our patrons for 20-30 minutes after the show and just kind of talk about whatever. But if you'd like to partake in that, you can do so by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/thetechjawn. That is the Tech JAWN. We've got multiple tiers over there, any one of which gets you access to our live stream and after party. So once again, if you like to support the show, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/thetechjawn. And with that, I wanted to kick us off with some news that we have been talking about. Congress and basically the United States banning TikTok for a couple of years. But it seems like in the last week or two, they like for real about it. So, Congress and the White House appear to be contemplating banning TikTok. They're saying that if you don't ban it, they potentially could pass a law. The Biden administration saying we will sign it if it passes passes Senate and the House, that ByteDance, which is the parent company of TikTok, that they will actually need to sell the company to a company that is not based and housed in Beijing. And they seem pretty serious about this. So what are y'all's take on that, to where normally tech would kind of come in and no, that's not good for us. You don't want to do that. But Facebook and Snapchat and X and pretty much everybody else is based over here is like, they ain't got nothing to do with us. You go ahead and do what you're going to do.
It's disingenuous as fuck. The article, the Vox article you mentioned, talked about how, President Biden is currently campaigning on TikTok.
There's that part.
The whole Cambridge Analytica thing happened on Facebook, an American company. The hypocrisy is just so big and so ridiculous that I...
And instead of trying to encourage young folks to get involved in the political process by meeting them where they are and going on TikTok, these folks in Congress, they just want to ban it all together. So you ain't doing nothing but further alienating young folks that you're trying to engage, that you're trying to get them involved in the political process, that you're trying to get them to vote. You would think they would use TikTok as the perfect outlet. No, we just gonna ban it.
They are, though, and it doesn't solve the problem. Like, we got a whole American Data Privacy and Protection Act that's sitting on a shelf somewhere that would take care of all of the things that they claim that they care about in their rationale for banning it. But we don't want to do that, though, and we don't want to have any of the kind of protections that the EU has around GDPR and anything like that. We just want to go after China so we look tough on our foreign adversaries. I mean, it's theater. It's more theater
during an election cycle.
Yeah, and that is pretty much it. And it just sucks because not enough of them know enough about these platforms to really make an informed decision about banning them or not banning them. And so this, I feel like, maybe has a chance of working. And so now you got millions of people who make their living on this platform, like, asked out. So it just sucks because it's so hypocritical that it makes my stomach turn.
Yeah.
Real quick, Rob, I was reading something related to this, and ByteDance, TikTok, sent out a message to all of the users like, yo, blah, 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 they might ban it, call your congressman or whatever. People are calling the congressmen, on the letter, on their phone numbers, and Congress is like dismissing them, like, oh, those young kids, they don't know, I've seen.
And they shut the phone lines down.
Right.
At one point.
It's like, yeah. Well, come on now. If you want people to get involved in the political process and then just push them aside as, oh, they don't know nothing. But it's like, well, which one is it? Do you want them to be engaged or do you not want them to be engaged?
Well, they want them to be engaged when they agree with them.
Right. Right.
This is one where, because it is so bipartisan, I mean, you have the left is not feeling ByteDance right now. The right is not feeling ByteDance right now. And the White House, I guess they lean left, is not feeling ByteDance right now. So all the things that you guys just said are absolutely true. But I'm just wondering if the government is looking at is like, OK, yeah, we know that Facebook does the same thing. And we know that X is trying to do the same thing. And we know that Snapchat, if actually, you know, enough people used it, they would do the same thing. But TikTok is a, you know, it is a company owned by ByteDance. ByteDance is based in Beijing. And even though, you know, TikTok has done a bunch of things, they have this thing called Project Texas, where they are, you know, like they're storing their data in Oracle. They're doing things where, you know, the data has to go through a bunch of checks and resources, before any information is sent over, to Beijing. Even though they're doing that, the government is basically saying, at least from what I've been reading and what I'm hearing, is that we do not trust this country to get this level of information on people. And they can tell us to their blue in the face. But what happens when we find out that China is actually taking all the data that they said they weren't taking? What is our recourse at that point? At least with a Facebook, at least with an X, because they're based here, you've got some level of recourse. Can't say that we're going to do anything, you know, to those companies, but at least they are here. But there, we can't do anything.
But so. You also realize that they could get data on the dark web at any point that they felt like it anyway, right? Like, I mean, I get it that, you know, just because it's available doesn't mean we have to give it away. But again, I think this is deflection, and Congress sort of abdicating their role in legislating policies that will actually protect us. This
going
is not
forward.
This is not really going to protect us at all, in the grand scheme of things. You know, maybe the boogeyman, the Chinese boogeyman, doesn't get our data. Maybe, but this doesn't ultimately protect us in any real or significant way. So it's just, again, theater. Congress trying to look tough on, you know, a foreign enemy, create an enemy where there maybe is not even one, you know, present, and when they should be trying to get together to protect our privacy in a real way through legislation.
Exactly, which will take a long time, and they don't want to do it. They just want a win for, like I said, the election cycle.
Just want
a
win, yeah.
Because if you really wanted to do it right, there's all kind of ways to do it. You, like you mentioned, Rob, the European Union is like standing out front to where they don't play with their consumers' data. Americans could follow that. Our government could follow.
Could have been done it. Could have been done. And I just feel bad because, like I said, there's just so many creators on that platform that have, you know, found ways to make a living, support their families, you know, reach millions of people in this country. Absolutely. It's just like it would really, really. And I don't know if it necessarily would mean that anybody who already had TikTok. Now, that's the thing I don't know. Maybe you know this, Rob, is like, what does that mean for people who already have the app on their phone? Is it just a matter of you can't download it anymore once this law passes, right? Because it has to be out of the app store? Or does it mean that, you know, potentially the government could go after people who they see posting on it because they had it on their phone before? Like, are we getting grandfathered in, or like what's happening with that?
So I believe that what the law that they're contemplating it would call for is that it's removed from the app stores. So you would no longer be, new people would not be able to download it. Existing folks would not be able to update it. It did not appear, at least I can't say for certain, that they're going to go and actually yank the code off of your phone. I don't think that, you know, I've read anything that is saying that they would do that, but it would basically be just like having an unsupported app on your device at this point.
Right.
So like,
you, and then
like
of course they would block those IP addresses. So even if you had it, unless you were using some type of VPN technology, you simply just wouldn't be able to talk to the servers any longer. As far as the app is concerned. So it would be effectively killing the app. But I want to change this gears just a little bit here, because I wanted to ask you two additional questions on this. Do you think that ByteDance would cave on this before they allowed their application that has literally millions of Americans using it and they're making billions upon billions upon billions of dollars with the app. Do you think that they would allow, as like, you know, do they actually, you know, go to the scale and say, make no more money in the richest country on the planet, or continue to make money by divesting this to another company that is not based here that we just have shares with or something like that?
Well, there's definitely a number. There's always a number that, you know, that anybody is willing to accept to have this app function, you know, continue to function. So there is absolutely a number that those folks in Congress are looking for and willing to accept. I don't know that ByteDance meets it. I think they can, and I think they probably will. I don't think they can really afford not to have a presence in this country. I don't think they can afford to have their app shut down. I just don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, what's that number? And when I say number, maybe not necessarily monetary, but what's that condition that is going to need to be met? Because I don't think we've seen it yet. I think, you know, they've thrown out some suggestions around transferring, you know, and we had, you know, went down that road. Walmart was supposed to buy them. And like you said, Oracle's storing all the data. We've gone down kind of all those little piecemeal solutions. And clearly that wasn't enough. But there is a number, and there are some conditions that our government will accept, and it'll just be a matter of what those are. And I just think they just haven't negotiated it yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I think ByteDance will fight this because of the treasure trove of data that they have. Now, they're not going to fight it into non-existence, but I think they call their bluff on this ban and just see, you know, what happens as a result of this immediate ban, you know, what the end users do, what the end users say, how they respond. And then maybe at the 11th hour, they say, all right. But I think they make United States sweat. Cause I think this is, I don't want to say unprecedented, but as far as social media is concerned, as far as apps are concerned, you know, this would be definitely something new that would happen. And I don't know if, the government really wants to take this. They say they do, and they want to pass it. But again,
it's a game of chicken. It's definitely a game of chicken.
I think both of them are trying to win.
Yeah. Who's going to blink first?
Yeah.
I think to your point, Terrence, ByteDance has a little bit of leverage because of what happened in Montana and the fact that their ban was struck down already. So there's like a precedent that's been set, but it definitely is a game. They're trying to see who's going to blink first. And like I said, there's going to be a number that Congress is gonna be like, oh, okay, now we're satisfied that all these things are, you know, safe for our people and yada yada yada, when meanwhile any sort of privacy protection is still, you know, not getting done.
Yeah, and I won't say there's a number that Congress is looking for, because this is a privately held company that, you know, could be looked to be sold to another company. I think what Congress is saying is that you cannot be owned by a foreign entity.
Yeah.
And we do these kind of things. Like if you look at what we do with China right now on any type of processor or on any type of, you know, chip, stuff like that, we basically are not allowed to ship our chips there. We're not allowed to have chips be built there for China in many ways. They have to be below a certain level. There's a lot of things that they just don't make the popular news. They absolutely make the tech news. This one is making the news because of this TikTok, and particularly because of what TikTok did was, hey, call your congressperson. But is that like a last ditch? Like what does ByteDance do after that? Okay, you've now told everybody to call your congressperson. It looks like Congress is still moving forward with this. I don't know what their next play is, what their next move is. The other question I want to ask you guys about this is that, how do you think this affects the users? It definitely will adversely affect creators who have made that platform their home. But how will it affect users? And I'll go first. I think that a lot of TikTok users will be really, really upset. And they will complain about it as they go to Instagram, as they go to YouTube Shorts,
right?
And Snapchat might get a bounce. And I think, like, you know, honestly, I said this on a show last week, our citizenry is very fickle on this kind of stuff. It's like, yep, I want to be really upset that I can't believe you banned TikTok. Let me go over to Instagram and see what's happening over there. And without even literally having a thought that you, the thing that you used to do on one platform, you now have to go to another platform to do. I think that it will almost be that quick that after a couple months, you know, exactly. A quarter,
people's the attention
users
span.
Aren't really, I don't want to say they don't care anymore, but they will have moved on just like they have moved on from other platforms. Mm-hmm. And the creators, that's a different story, but I want to get you guys' take on that before we move on.
And maybe the government's banking on that. Maybe they're banking on the fact that we have short attention spans and we'll be upset for a couple months. And then maybe business as usual, like you said, on Instagram, on whatever new thing comes, something else comes mm-hmm. up and sees an opportunity or whatever and takes a place, you know. But again, you know, this just furthers the clear divide of what constituents are looking for versus what Congress is, you know, willing or unwilling to do. And like Stephanie mentioned, there are other things that the government could do if they want to. And it's just, to me, it's glaring and surprising that they just want to kind of take the easy way out versus doing what you're supposed to do as a government that represents the people. And if the people are with TikTok, then you figure it out. What's so hard to figure it out? We've already got things in place.
And see, I definitely don't want to keep this conversation going. I know we like, you know, beat a dead horse, but there is another, I think, more overarching issue with this as well. And I saw this late last week, and I think I meant to throw it in the rundown, but and we don't need to get into the weeds of it, but there is a new document that was discovered in China, document 79, and they have a whole campaign called Delete A, as in Delete America. And by some, it was a government directive made in 2022 by the Chinese government that China cannot have any American technology at all in China. Like, they have to get rid of any software tools that they're using that are American. They can't buy no chips from here. They like no components, no parts, like nothing. Like, literally Delete America is a campaign happening in China right now. So I feel like this could be some backlash to that as well. I'm sure. I mean, it was in the Wall Street Journal. So now we know about it. If it was secret before, it is not secret anymore. So this could also be some backlash to that as well.
Sounds like cyber warfare to me.
Right. And so if that's the case, then America probably doesn't blink on getting ByteDance out of the picture. But I think ByteDance maybe blinks and, you know, eventually ends up selling to some subsidiary, some U.S. subsidiary, and to stay in this country
for a ton of money. Like you said, Stephanie, there's a number.
Yeah, there's a number.
Billions.
Yeah.
I mean, billions and billions of billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars.
And is it worth it if you could just do something else? Again, it's like, legislate the right way and we don't have to come to that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, though.
This might be one of those things where the government says we're going to do what we can get past, not necessarily what's right.
Yeah.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I want to change gears a little bit here and talk about this next story that I don't think either one of you are shocked or surprised at all about what Trump supporters are doing. So for those who want to know what Rob is rambling about myself, and I guess I just did talk about myself in third person. There is a conservative radio host that is, you know, fairly hard right leaning, is a massive Trump supporter, and he created some AI generated images of President Donald Trump surrounded by black voters. And these images are, I mean, when you first look at them, it's like, oh, that's interesting, until you really start to look and like, oh, they're funny. Their fingers look funny. It's clearly it's AI. So my first question to you, are either of you surprised at all that I don't even know, is this to bolster the vote, to get the vote out amongst black, voters in the United States? Hey, you know, these black people are cool with Trump. You should be too. Is it that, or is it something else? I mean, you know, what is the purpose of this? Because I look at this and it's like, it clearly looks fake.
Well, not to everybody, because the person they quoted in the article, this was from a BBC article. They quoted a cab driver in the article that saw one of the photos that did think it was real at first. And if you don't dissect it and scrutinize it, you know, you may just be like, oh, ooh, wow, look, Donald Trump is some black people, you know. But the problem is, you know, and the guy that did the picture, the radio host that did the picture did say, and I want to get it right, if anybody's voting one way or another because of one photo they see on a Facebook page, that's a problem with the person, not the post itself. And he does have a point, because if you would see this and take it as some sort of, you know, endorsement from the black community to, you know, for Donald Trump, and be like, oh, well, I guess we all voting for Trump now, so let me go ahead and vote for Trump. Yeah, you have bigger problems than just this picture. But it's unfortunate that, you know, we're using these AI tools in this way. And, you know, I think when we, you know, I would like to have a conversation too about what to look for, but I want Terrence to go ahead.
Well, I would only interject if Trump himself hasn't tried this play before. Now, I don't know if it worked or not, but you remember when Trump had all those pastors at the White House, mm-hmm. and they're all laying hands on Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one hook that conservatives get with black folks is religion. And we are still wrestling with how to approach and tackle certain topics, whether it be LGBTQ, whether it be abortion, whether it be some of these other like topics that black people are still wrestling with, as far as are we old school or are we modern, right? Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump and them know that. And he had all the pastors come and lay hands on him. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of religious black folks that are Democrat or liberal, progressive, whatever. But they're struggling because their church and whatever says this and that and the third. And they're really trying to struggle. Now, whether or not these pastors are fully supporting Trump or not, I don't know if that's the argument. But they did put a publicity stunt to where Trump is surrounded by a bunch of black pastors. So had that not been the case, clearly I'd be like, yeah, people are stupid if they're going to look at a picture of Trump and say, oh, you know, it looks like he does have some people in his camp that identify with the things let me take a closer look at him. Right. You know, I would think that'd be stupid, but he's tried it before. I don't know if it worked, but this ain't a new thing. This ain't something brand new out of left field, you know, that somebody's using AI. Again, I'm not saying it'll work, but this is in the playbook. Now, whether it works or not, I don't know.
Ain't this as bad as the sneaker? Like,
yes, if not more so.
Yeah, yeah, it may even be worse. And it's funny that you say that, because I didn't write that in here, but I was going to bring that in, you know, to the conversation. So Mark Kaye, if we take him at his word, he came out and he said, if you're voting based off this picture, then that's your problem. And, you know, you should be better than that. Yeah, I hear that. But this is what I also hear in between the lines. I'm, as I said, I am not surprised at all. It doesn't shock me at all that you have Mark Kay, very hard right leaning conservative that is doing this type of stuff, creating this type of AI. It's not breaking a law. It's completely legal for him to do it. But I'll take it a step further, because it's like, what do you really think of black folks? Do you honestly believe that there are people who are going to fall for this?
And they
do. The answer is yes. That's why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, Trump, the closest thing to a sneaker I've ever seen Trump wear is golf shoes. But he now has these gold high top sneakers that you can go spend all his money on and go out and buy. And someone had to say, well, you know what? Black folks really like sneakers. So if you have a sneaker, Mr. President, you may swing them to your vote. There are strategists who are actually thinking that stuff works.
Absolutely.
The sad thing is that in some cases they may be right.
In some cases they may be right. So let's talk about how to analyze these pictures to determine whether or not they're. I mean, these pictures in particular. I mean, I don't know how one would look at these pictures with as smooth as everybody's skin is. I mean, looking all alien like and not think that they were real, or not think that they were fake. But that is definitely one way to start looking at a picture, is if everybody's skin is absolutely flawless. Like mm-hmm. people have texture in their skin and just, you know, lines and bumps and just moles and yeah, like literally everybody's skin in these pictures is completely smooth, like alien smooth. So that's one way.
Here's another dead giveaway. For all those that are smiling and you can see their teeth, why do all of their teeth look like front teeth? Hey, nobody got no side teeth in these pictures. These are the most perfect caps that everybody in these pictures had.
Everybody got veneers.
Or everybody got front teeth. Because it's like, there's no gaps. There's no, there's no brown spots. These are the most perfect looking teeth you will ever find.
And then to juxtapose that, if you scroll down to the picture where the brothers and Donald Trump, everybody's got the same kind of no teeth smile as well. You know, they're all kind of like, I'm a smile, but I'm not going to show any teeth. You know, so you just juxtapose that against the picture at the top where he's smiling with all the sisters and, you know, a couple brothers in the back. It seems like everybody's showing teeth.
This one, even if it was real, this one looks fake, because there's just no way that Trump is going to be in this picture.
No,
he's not going to be in this picture space. He's simply not going to be.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 black men by himself. No. Some
young brothers too.
No.
Yeah.
And then two, sometimes
like Central Park 5 age young fellas. Right. He is not going to be there.
Sometimes AI messes people's hands up. So definitely we keep saying in the first picture, but I think you'll probably link this website in the show notes at some point. But the picture with the women, the guy's finger on the left side is cut off. His ring finger is cut off. So like, look at hands, and the AI frequently gets hands and fingers wrong. You might see 6 fingers on one hand, or you might see missing fingers or 4 fingers or half a finger. But look at hands and fingers in pictures too, and make sure everybody has all of them. Sometimes they cut the hands off altogether and the person doesn't even have a hand. So look at hands and fingers in pictures as well. And ears too. AI usually gets ears a little wonky. Sometimes they may be out of whack. So, but you got to do your due diligence, man. Yeah. You really do.
You really do. And just back to the politics of this, there are a whole lot of black Trump supporters. You don't got to look hard to find them. So why are you faking pictures? It's like, just go get the real supporters.
Go get your
get the ones he paid for.
Yeah. Go get your peoples.
Yeah. But yeah, this was a trick to me, but I'm just sitting here thinking, it's like, do you really think that little of us? Oh yes, yes.
Yes, they do.
Yes, you do. You actually think this stuff is going to work.
Or one more thing, do a reverse image search. You can save the picture and upload it into Google and see where it shows up on the internet. Most likely something like this, you know, maybe the AI tool that the person used to generate it would have a record of it, and that would come up as a result, or a website debunking the picture as being real, you know, will come up. But, you know, it's up to all of us, I think, heading into November. Like, we got to do our homework. We got to do our due diligence. We got to check. We got to trust but verify. We got to check and double check and check again, because they're going to be coming at our necks like heavy.
Fakes.
Yes.
Fake videos. You got robocalls.
Speaking. Yes. Everything. Uh-huh. You got to do your homework. They're going to be coming at our necks heavy. And you just can't get caught up in the nonsense.
So, question for y'all. Are either of you still really into Black Twitter? Is it still a thing?
I haven't been on Twitter, and I don't even know when the last time I was on Twitter. So for me, that would be a no.
When I need to read something without audio or without video or anything, I'll pop into Twitter every once in a while just to see what people are talking about. I am not engaging, liking, commenting at all. But every once in a while, I'll pop in there just to see what, to put my finger on the pulse and see what people are talking about.
Let me go in Twitter right now. I ain't been on Twitter in a minute. Let me see what's happening on the Twitter.
But I asked the question because there is a new documentary, you know, going to be coming out about Black Twitter. And, you know, I read this article on, I think it was Hollywood Reporter, and there's a couple of different places that are talking about it. And we've got them linked in the show notes, the Roots talking about it as well. But, Black Twitter is still a thing. Now, clearly we all know that the name of the platform has changed to X, but one of the things that members of Black Twitter are saying,
his mama name him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
Exactly. They are not changing the name. That is still the name of the group. And I'm like you guys, I don't spend nearly as much time on X, which means I don't spend nearly as much time on Black Twitter as I used to. I've kind of moved on to other places. And one of the reasons that I've done that is because the people that I was conversing with on Twitter, many of which were part of Black Twitter. There's actually another group on Twitter called Black Tech Twitter that I actually was even more so than Black Twitter. I spent a lot of time in that group, but a lot of people that I actually conversed with in those groups have moved away. So my experience with Black Twitter, my experiences with Black Tech Twitter have changed, made me want to move other places. So I wonder about this, this documentary. Is it timely, or is it coming out a little bit too late, or will you potentially see a bounce on Black Twitter after it comes out? You know, are people going to watch it and say, oh, let me, people are still rocking here. Let me go back and find out. I don't know how to take this one.
It is interesting. You know, I mean, I'll probably watch it. I think it is important from a historical context. Took the words out of my mouth, from a historical context, because Black Twitter is a thing. It was a thing. It was huge. And it birthed movements that changed the way society functioned.
That's where Oscar So White started, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, so, and Black Lives Matter, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think Black Twitter deserves this history and this storytelling. It deserves to have its story told and preserved. Sure. But I do think people have maybe largely moved on. You know, could there be a resurgence? Yes. If Elon Musk sells it to somebody else, then, you know, we can go back on there and feel safe. But I think at a minimum, the story deserves to be told and preserved in a way that honors what Black Twitter was able to create.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree 100%. You know, I wouldn't call myself an aficionado, you know, of Black Twitter, but definitely knew where to look, who to follow, what hashtags to follow. You know, I think I could be wrong, but one of the negatives or drawbacks in particular to Black Twitter was the whole woke thing. You know, we colloquialisms within the Black culture, you know, we would say stay woke, you know, to mean something, you know, pay attention to what's going on. Keep your head on the swivel. You know, don't fall for the okey doke. You know, we use that so much probably within Black Twitter that other people, prying eyes, saw it and turned it into woke what it is today, which is totally not what it was originated about. So, you know, maybe that's a you know, for all the positives, all the stories, all the movements that started, you know, that may be one of the also one of the avenues a documentary could look at the drawbacks, the negatives of
and the know, way things got co-opted exactly. and appropriated.
And appropriate all those. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. But history nonetheless.
So one of the things that I have come to notice as I, you know, look at other social media platforms, there's nothing like Black Twitter anywhere else. That space does not exist
nope.
on other platforms. There are platforms that are actually trying to be Black Twitter, you know, the whole platform themselves. And even those platforms are only a fraction of the number of people that are using the Black Twitter hashtag within X. So there is that. And I will say this, like last night was the Oscars. I watched 90 seconds of it. There was a, you know,
you watched more than me.
Yeah, I watched it. I think we should talk about it in the afternoon.
You know, there was a song from, I can't even remember the name of the movie, but it's the Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
There was an original song that was up for song, you know, for, you know, to win an Oscar.
Best song.
Mm-hmm. I actually went and watched that. I wanted to watch that song being performed. That was literally it. Once this, you know, Twitter notified me that the song was coming up, I went and I watched the song. I saw it get a standing ovation and then I dipped out and was out. And I honestly couldn't even, I think that there is a Black woman at one for something, but I couldn't even tell you who or for what. I literally just was not interested in the Oscars. And, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. I just wasn't really interested in watching another show about a whole bunch of movies that I've never seen. So, but I do think that this has to come up. The first place I went to go look is like, okay, what's Black Twitter saying about the Oscars? I didn't do that.
It's interesting that I did not do that because I can remember and the Black Twitter documentary is going to touch on how Black Twitter made Scandal, the television show Scandal, so popular. And I remember every Thursday, I would be live tweeting. My little fingers would be on. I would be on. And it was just good to be a part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. You had to be there.
You had to be there. Every commercial. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, did you see what she just said? Oh no, Fitz. And you know, I did watch the Oscars. I actually thought it was really, really well done. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And my old inclination would have been to be on Twitter tweeting in the moment. And I didn't even think to do it. Like it didn't even occur to me to do it. I didn't even pick up my phone for that. And so that definitely says something about how I feel about that platform now is that I have no inclination at all to.
That is telling.
Yeah.
And that is problematic for Twitter. If Tech Life Steph is watching the Oscars,
I'm just saying, and you didn't tweet anything.
You didn't say, nah, I ain't going on Twitter. I'm not messing with them anymore. You said, I didn't even think about it.
It didn't even occur to me.
That is a problem. If folks who are into the media as much as the three of us are, aren't even thinking about.
But it also didn't occur to me to go on Threads either. So I don't know. I'm just going to watch it. I don't need to be doing that. That's different though,
because if Threads has never become part of what you do,
right?
It's not like you're forgetting it. It's just that it's never become part of what you do.
That's true.
I will say this until I get blue in the face. Threads is not a replacement, nor do I believe it ever will be a replacement for Twitter or a replacement for X. You know, Twitter, now X, has been around too long that it has its own critical mass and it moves the way that it moves. And you simply just cannot copy that. There are smaller platforms. Like, I think that someone could recreate a Snapchat and get as big as Snap is in a matter of years. I don't think that that's possible to do that with a platform like X. It's just too big, has its own motion. And we see that, okay, the biggest social media platform on earth created a clone of it and it's still not doing what it's done. It's not a year old yet. I mean, you know, the thing came out in July of last year, so it's still a baby, but it's very different. The way you move on Threads is just very different. It's a different experience than the way you move on X. So, there is that, but, you're right. if Tech Life staff is not even thinking about going to X what while you're watching the Oscars, that is like a show that is designed for you to actually use X with. Yeah.
With the outfits. Like I would know, cause I used to be a big award show person. Like I haven't watched a ton of them in a while, but back in the day, Grammys, Oscars, Golden Globe, like the whole award season I was into, cause I was into the fashion and the fashion recap afterwards. And when Joan Rivers had Fashion Police on E and all that, like, I mean, I would be, again, furiously tweeting about outfits and different things like that. And I just, like I said, I just didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched one part. I just wanted to see that song be performed. And then I dipped out. I literally couldn't tell you anything else that happened about the Oscars last night. But this last story we're going to get
support
into.
The brother. I will say, so if you got Hulu, support the brother. It's the brother that wrote for Insecure, Prentice Penny. That's putting it together based on a brother who wrote an article for Wired about, like, he wrote a 3-part article for Wired. So, you know, support the brother.
It'd be good to go down memory lane.
You know, exactly. And then go on Black Twitter and complain about it if you don't like it.
I'm definitely going to watch it because it's, I mean, Black Twitter, it was a thing. It still kind of is a thing. I mean, still, there's still, you know, millions of people who are using that hashtag, you know, on a regular basis. So it's definitely a thing. So I will definitely be all into watching.
Black Twitter deserves its flowers. Give Black Twitter its flowers.
That could be a title of a show. Here's a question though. Is the fact that most teens are just kind of, and Terrence, you wrote, meh, about social media use. Could that be one of the reasons why we're not seeing just the decline of a Black Twitter, of an X, but is social media, does it feel like it's being used less? Not necessarily being used less,
but social media as an technology, as an extension of social media and smartphones. You know, most teens grew up with a smartphone in their hand. You know, it's like a second, a third arm for a lot of these teenagers, you know, and their Axios put a piece together, you know, talking about, you know, we talked a little bit about it at the top, talking about, you know, TikTok and some of the things that go on, you know, as far as social media use and how the kids, you know, they are becoming the more disconnected, not even considering all the cyberbullying, not even considering all the CSAM. Did I say that right? CSAM, you know, all that stuff going on. These kids, these teenagers, you know, are aware of all this stuff is going on, you know, self-image, you know, body image, all these issues that can manifest or originate from social media and technology as an extension, you know. But the interesting thing about this Axios story is teens are aware of that and are like, we're okay with it. Basically, I'm gonna read a couple of stats. Most teens think the benefits of smartphones outweigh the harms for their age group, according to a Pew Research study survey of 13 to 17 year olds and their parents. 38% of teens do admit that they spend too much time on their smartphones. 25% say they spend too much time on social media, while 39% say they should cut back on social media use. But in reality, 63% of teens have not limited their smartphone use, and 60% of them have not limited their social media use. You know, of course, parents, they've got a clip in here about 76% of parents say, you know, as a parent, we got to do better to have conversations and limit social media or whatever the case may be. But overall, teens are like 69% of teens say smartphones make it easier to pursue their hobbies and interests. 65% say smartphones help them to be more creative. So pretty much, you know, all of these, I don't want to call them boogeymen because they're actual real issues that affect teens. The teens are like, I'll just cross that bridge when I get there, for lack of a better term. I just wanted to open it up to you all specifically, you know, you, Stephanie, this is kind of like your area, you know, this outlook from these teens, you know, how do you feel about that?
It's unfortunate. And it's so funny you put this in here because I literally just posted today about some middle schoolers that got arrested for using an AI app to create some deep fakes of their classmates.
Charged with felonies.
Yes.
Felonies.
Arrested. So I agree that teens aren't necessarily thinking, they haven't extrapolated their social media use out that far, but they should be. Right. And that's the problem. And you know, we have to decide as the adults in society, whether or not we're going to be okay with the way these young people adult when they become adults, because they're not going to be able to have normal conversations like we have conversations. They're not going to be, they can't look. I talk to them all the time. They can't look you in the eye. They don't understand what it means to engage and have like sort of emotional intelligence necessarily. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong or bad, but it is different. The communication styles, the interaction, the engagement is just different from the way we were raised and brought up. So we have to decide if we're going to be okay with that and have a whole new Gen Z generation of kids that just are on some old different stuff. And if we're okay with, the consequences that come with that, like an AI tool that can take your clothes off of your picture. Because, you know, if we're not going to teach that digital literacy and teach that mindfulness and that intentionality around how you're using these tools, this is what you get. You know what I mean? Because the technology is just going to keep going. It's going to keep going and going and going. And you're going to be able to do all these different types of things. Are you okay with that when a student kills themselves? Because their picture got out there like that. And, you know, and you know, I'm not catastrophizing it. I talk to kids every single day who tried to kill themselves. Like, this is what it is. And you know, I don't know that I would go so far as to call it an epidemic per se, but one is too many. One is too many. You know what I mean? So what are we doing as the grownups in the room? Or are we just saying, okay, well, if the kids don't think it's a problem, then it's probably kids don't know. They don't know no better. And I say that
until it becomes a problem,
they don't, their brains aren't fully developed. They don't know no better. This is what they do. So the grownups in the room have to be the grownups in the room and start putting some controls in place and having these conversations to help them understand and develop outside of digital, you know, get them IRL in real life, interacting with people, or we're just going to keep seeing the same stuff happen over and over again.
Yeah. I have been saying for a while that the internet is the most wonderful, horrible place.
Yes. In existence. At the same time.
So all the things that the teens are polled and are asked about, they're right. I remember, and I'm going to assume y'all remember because we're all roughly, you know, around the same age. If you wanted to find out some information, you had to go get, you know, you had to go to grandma's house and go get the Encyclopedia Britannica from 1981 when it's 1987 and hope that stuff hadn't changed that much.
Right.
You know, to do your research. Now, literally, the, you know, most knowledge that exists is available at your fingertips. You can literally pull your smartphone out and you can search for literally anything and get information about. That is a wonderful place to be. Now, there are going to people are going to say, well, that makes, you know, kids dumber. I don't know that it does. It just makes them not have to memorize things. It's like, you know, they can use that bandwidth to go be brilliant in other ways.
Right.
You know, your ability to memorize, you know, things that you read in an encyclopedia does not tell me, you know, how smart you are. The fact that you can know where to go search it.
Totally off topic. I push back on that when it comes to math. Because the fact that you can't tell me 8 times 7 is 56 without doing some sort of something, like, that should be instantaneous.
Oh, no. I'm specifically talking about things in the encyclopedia, not in the math book.
Random topics, yeah.
You know, to completely get off, you know, off topic, I see tons of memes that are like simple math problems, with people arguing like, well, I literally had somebody say, well, in my opinion, it's like, you can't have an opinion about math.
You can't have an opinion about math.
How can you have an opinion right. about math?
It don't
it's
work like
well,
that.
I learned how to do it this way. It's like, if you did, then your school system failed you because you do the stuff in parentheses first.
I know. It's crazy.
Like I said, I digress. But yeah, this is one of those situations where, you know, when it comes to what teams are thinking about this, yes, they are absolutely right. But parents still need to parent. And it's looking like, depending on where you live, there's going to be some real consequences. Steph, I watched your TikTok on this. It's like, if you in, you know, if you in California, the worst that may happen to you is you get expelled, not just from your high school or middle
for
school,
now.
But from the school system.
For now.
But you don't got a record.
Yeah.
But in Florida, they charging these youngsters with felonies.
Felonies.
That stuff don't just go away. Particularly if you 15, 16, they might get you as an adult in some cases. So that could be something that could be around for a minute. So, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, well, that seems harsh. No, it doesn't. This is child pornography.
It is
pornography. If you take a picture of a child and you have them, you know, engage in some type of sex act, and you put that out on the internet, regardless of whether it was their body,
it doesn't
or
even
AI
have to be a sex
body,
act. It's yeah. just a nude photo.
Yeah,
like,
it is that is pornography. So mm-hmm. yeah, there are some, you know, some pretty serious ramifications that can come from this. And what I hope happens is that we don't just start locking folks up, that we don't just start, you know, putting people, you know, behind bars. I believe that there absolutely needs to be some very, 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 very serious consequences for this. Leaving your school system may be one of them. But I think that it is, you know, incumbent upon parents to make sure that your children know, hey, you cannot do this. There are a lot of things that a lot of young people don't do simply because their parents told them it was a bad thing to do. And these are the consequences if you get caught. You know, consequences and repercussions actually work.
Absolutely. And this is one of those instances. I think, you know, all of the stats in this article that you quoted, you know, the kids think it's fine because that's all they know.
And because nothing's happened to them yet.
Right.
You know, they
and,
haven't been
and because nothing and because right. nothing's happened. They're digital natives. They grew up, you know, what did Bane say? You were just a visitor. I was born in the darkness. You know, these kids was born in the darkness of the digital era. So that's all they know. And to your point, until something happens, they think it's all lighthearted. It's not that big a deal. It's just social media. It's not that big a deal until your self-esteem takes a hit when mm-hmm. your picture don't get no likes or somebody says, ha ha ha, you, oh my God, you look like a troll or whatever. And now you got an eating disorder. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Or you just implicated in something that was just popular or popping.
Right.
And you didn't think about the ramifications and you participated, sharing, and you tweeting, liking, whatever. And then you got zeroed out or targeted. And
right.
You're trying to figure out, well, I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was, no, that was enough.
Or you burn up 70% of your body in a challenge trying to go viral on social media doing some nonsense. So it's just like, yeah, I'm not trying to be an extremist about this, but these things are happening. And, you know, it really is up to us to provide. That's the whole point of being an adult and being a parent, is to provide guidance to young people who have not had the experience that we have had, whose brains aren't fully developed yet, who need a little bit of structure and discipline and guidance around the things that they do. And social media and the internet is one of those things.
Yeah, they are children. There's a reason why you don't let children operate heavy machinery.
Yes.
There's a reason why you've got to be 16 years old before you get your driver's license.
That's
in most
right.
states, you got to be 15 and a half before you can even get a learner's permit.
That's
There's
right.
a reason why you can't drink alcohol until you are 21 years old. It's like there's data that shows that when it happens legally before that age, good things just don't happen.
No.
Because teenagers tend not to do things in moderation.
And I don't think, unfortunately, I don't think parents look at social media in that same way. And they should. And until we can get them to, I mean, I think more parents are now. I mean, you know, we saw it with that whole hearing they had in the Senate with Mark Zuckerberg and the parents that were there whose children had unfortunately died in some way or another. You know, parents are getting there, but you do have to look at it that very same way. You wouldn't give your kid the car keys at 12. Why are you handing them a smartphone without helping them understand how to use it? You know what I mean? Like, you have to really regard it in the same way and give them the same type of instruction and guidance with those platforms, even if you don't understand it all that much yourself. And that's the problem. They don't know. And most adults are like, I don't really know TikTok. What is TikTok? Or, get to know it.
Parents, these parents now, the swear fighting against their own age, you know, trying to do the stuff with the kids. And
well, that's the other piece.
It's like, I do not want to sound like that old fogey, that old dude. Cause I admit, I'm in my very, very, very early 50s. So I admit that, but there are, you know, tweens out there whose parents are literally in their late 20s to early 30s. Mm-hmm. They're doing the same stuff the kids is doing.
They're doing the same stuff.
Arguing on the internet, joining in on these crazy bullying stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, the same have self-esteem issues. And
I know.
Get that dopamine hit when they wake up in the morning and look at their phone. We first talking thing. About 30, 40-year-olds that cannot put that phone down.
Yeah.
And then they raising kids who can't put their phone down.
The phone down. Yeah.
And something happened. Both of them looking at us like, I don't know what to do. Because
it is
the age. Yeah. That's the age.
It is. Age. It's a different thing. Crazy.
I remember growing up in the, you know, in the late 70s and the 80s. You know, I can remember the early 80s very, very well. But our social media was one of them notes that you had to fold up and you would do the, you know, do you like me? Click yes for one.
All
click
right, now
you
know, sound two old, for no.
Hey, I am. But that's what I was doing. This stuff did not exist when I was, you know, when I was young. It's like, it was all about notes. It's like,
it's crazy.
Things stayed local. It's like now something can happen and Earth is aware of it within moments. Mm-hmm. Back then, if you did something really, really corny in school, only the folks who saw it, you know, are going to know about it, and they're going to tell their friends. And it might spread, but it's literally your class knows. But now, you could do something stupid, and the internet gets hold of it, and you are a meme by the time you get home from school. And Earth is now, you know, commenting on what you do. That is just different from from what it was. And clearly, we had telephones that my parents didn't have telephones. You know, I had a phone in my bedroom when I was when I was young. That was something that was like
you get your own phone. Sneaky.
I had my own phone. That too. Now, it wasn't my own phone line. It was just my own phone to actually use the same line as everybody else. I wasn't like living like that, but I did have my own phone in my bedroom when I was young. So anyway, y'all, it is about that time for us to get to the end of the show. Before we do, I want to let people know another way that you can support the show. We actually have merchandise that you can get that has all kind of Tech John logos and stuff like that. So if you would like to support the Tech John and look cool while you're doing it, head over to thetechjohn.com/shop where you'll find all kinds of swag. We've got hats, hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, mice pads, tumblers, and more, all branded with our Tech John logo. Once again, head over to thetechjohn.com/shop and pick yourself up some of the new hotness that we had that just came out this year.
Woohoo.
So we did not have any new patrons this week. We did have one last week. So once again, y'all, if you want to support the show, head over to Patreon. You can do it. Definitely head over to our shop if you want to get some swag. But with all that being said, Tech Life Steph, tell folks how they can get at you.
You can follow me all around the web at Tech Life Steph or check out StephanieHumphrey.com.
And you can find me all over the internet at Brother Tech. That's BROTHATECH.
And I am at Rob Dunwood on all the things. And we're also at The Tech John, The Tech JAWN on all the things. So come holler at us however you holler. Until we meet again in a week's time. Peace.
Peace.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.